Let us pray. Lord, we beseech Thee to keep Thy church and household continually in Thy true religion, that they which do lean only upon hope of Thy heavenly grace may evermore be defended by Thy mighty power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was growing up, one unfortunate day, my mom bought a birdcage. Now, this was not your normal bird cage. It was huge, and to my torment for many years to come, was made of cast iron. And to add another element of the story, my mom loved to decorate and rearrange furniture quite frequently. And I think it allowed her some creative outlet. And because she did this all the time, the bird cage had to be moved. This eventually became my problem. My burden, because she could not move it, and my two older brothers had already moved out of the house. And my dad, during the season of life, was working long hours, and so repeatedly it was my mom and a kid who had to move furniture for her. This birdcage was the focal point of my dread, however, because of its sheer weight and bulkiness. It started off in the entry hallway. Then it moved to a sunroom. Then upstairs. Then here. Then there. You get the idea. It was all over the place. Well, I got older. I became stronger. I grew taller. But when I was approached to move the birdcage, I assure you, it just got heavier. There came a long peace for me when the birdcage was moved outside. I thought I was free at last. The burden would no longer be my problem. The weight would be upon the concrete and not upon my back and shoulders. But a day came. A day came when I was told that my parents were moving down to the hill country, and because of that, the birdcage had to be moved. And you may have guessed it, I was the one to move it. And because of their new home, my mom became enamored again with the birdcage. This was round two. Now, I was in college by this time, but she always waited until I came and visited for me to move that cage. Well, again, eventually, it found its way outside. And there it sat for a time, the ground beneath it sinking. And so one day, my mom attempted to sell a lot of her things in an antique store. One of these things, to my joy, was that birdcage. But again, I was asked to carry it to the store. Carry this huge, bulky mess. I don't recall how long it sat there in that store, but eventually someone purchased it. And I was happy to finally be rid of that foul beast of cast iron once and for all. Someone had taken this heavy burden from me. Thank God. Human beings are really, really heavy. The weight of sin, the curse of death, is an incredibly enormous burden. I can't help but think of Greek mythology here with the great Titan Atlas, who held the weight of the world upon his shoulders. From what I remember, it was a most horrible, unbearable experience for him. We walk, we live, we exist with this incredible weight upon us because we are born into sin and death. How truly heavy we are. Where might we find a foundation strong enough to bear our weight? All other foundations crack beneath our mass. All other foundations sink into a dark chasm. Is there anyone to help us in our plight? Here is where Thomas Cranmer's prayer for today comes in handy. For it is a most honest prayer. It strikes true. It hits the mark. It shows us that our only hope is in the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we find one strong enough to bear the burden of our weight. In Christ, we find a true foundation. And the only thing we bring to the equation is the weight of our sin. The only thing we bring is our heaviness. Our only hope, our only assurance is that we fall on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. This prayer begins by clarifying the identity of God's people. Who are God's people? They are His church. They are His household. Let us unpack these two terms a bit. The church is God's new society, as John Stott has reminded us. It is the people of God's new age living in the midst of the old age. They are only this. They are only people of the new age because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But God's people are also a family. They have been brought into God's house. They are sons and daughters of the living God. They are only this, only members of God's household and His family, only sons and daughters of the living God because of the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. This is Cranmer's point. The emphasis is on God's work in grace accomplished in Jesus. God is the one who keeps us because we have fallen upon Christ. And this is extremely important, for we don't just fall once upon Jesus. We continually fall upon Him when we err and sin. The musician Derek Webb reminds us of this when he sings, "So I try to make light of things I can't deny are so heavy, whose weight is so great that your body is crushed underneath. Yet I stand on your grave and I claim I am tall and I'm steady. But tell the truth, I'm bound to fall on you." This is why we have the confession of sin. We fall all the time because of the weight and heaviness of our sin, because of the burden that we carry. But we fall on Christ, and in Him we are forgiven. And we are assured of this in the absolution. We are comforted as we hear the comforting words about God's love, about His forgiveness, about His mercy and His grace. Christ bears our weight. He keeps us in true religion by His incredible grace. And His grace is truly astounding and immeasurable. For Rich Mullen speaks the truth when he sings that God's grace rings out so loud, it makes our resistance seem so thin. We fall on God's grace, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But not only do we fall on grace, we also lean upon its very hope. The next part of Cranmer's prayer develops the identity of God's people rooted in the grace of Christ a little bit more. What is the church? What is God's household? The people who lean upon the hope of His heavenly grace. And there are many things in which people place their hope in this life. Jobs, families, friends, wealth, health. But Christians, the church, the household of God, the family of God, are people whose sole and only hope is in the grace of God revealed in Jesus. This means that we put all of our eggs into one basket. We go all in, if you will, on this grace thing. If our hope is divided, it means we think these other things can hold our weight. They cannot. They will not. They are bound to crack when we fall. They are bound to sink because of our heaviness. Only the grace of Christ Jesus is our hope. We are a people whose only hope is in Jesus. As C. Frederick Barbie and Paul Zoll comment, the only ground on which to place our weight, the only foundation strong enough to take the full burden of all we hope to become, as well as all we hope to have forgiven, is God's grace. Only God's grace in Jesus? This is huge. This is incredibly huge. How huge? Well, let me tell you. This grace comes from outside of us. It is God's gift. Whatever we bring to the table is deeply flawed. We are exposed. We are naked without any fig leaves to be found. For the only thing that we are perfect at is being imperfect. I have been recently making my way through the sitcom Friends. And the character Monica is quite a perfectionist, if you know the show. She's meticulous. She's controlling. And as the show continues to unfold, it's obvious, clear, she is perfect at being imperfect. What a character of the human condition. Perfect at being imperfect. This is why the church leans on Christ, for only His perfection will do. Only His perfection. The gift of God's grace is our only hope, and we must lean on His everlasting arms, for we are so very, very heavy. Yes, we are heavy. Yes, we are. But we fall on grace and we lean on grace. And though we are heavy, God is so very, very strong. Cranmer's prayer concludes focusing on the mighty power of our God. What a fantastic quality to end on. How mighty is the power of Christ Jesus. He is strong enough to bear the weight, the heaviness of not just you and me, but all of humanity. He took it all upon Himself on the hardwood of the cross. He became a curse for us. For as it is written in the Torah, curse is anyone who hangs from a tree. What a wonderful exchange. What a wonderful exchange. He takes our weight upon Himself. He takes the burden of everything upon Himself. And in exchange, we get His very life. We get everlasting life. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. I love this painting by Thomas Blackshear. It's called Forgiven. I love it for many different reasons, but I think it's a helpful image for this prayer of the church. Christ holds a man weighed down by the weight of sin. The man is so very, very heavy. The man has collapsed. The man has leaned into the arms of Christ. And Christ is strong enough to hold the man and the weight of his sin. This man represents not just you and me, but all of humanity. And Jesus is strong enough. Loves each and every one of us. Loves all the world that He holds us. He bears our weight. And we stand upon Him. Though we are weak, Christ is strong. Though we are so very, very heavy, He is big enough, powerful enough to hold the weight of all. And as we try to fathom the vast, inexhaustible power of Christ and to dwell upon the vast, inexhaustible riches of His grace, Cranmer's prayer also mentions that we are protected by this One who bore our sin and bears our sin when we continually fall. The One who keeps us in true religion defends us evermore. He is our strength. And this is why we are beckoned to come to His table and to partake of the bread and the wine, to take in His very life by eating His flesh and drinking His blood. You see, we need Him always. We need Him always. He is ours and we are His forever. We are bound to Him and He to us. We are held by His unfailing strength and we are refreshed by His very life. We are a people defined by the riches of His grace and what He has done for us. And He has done so very, very much. So there is quite a lot to this wonderful prayer of Cranmer, who I always like to say is the godfather of Anglicanism. This prayer is as relevant today as it was long, long ago. It reveals to us the weight of our sin and our great need to fall upon the sure foundation of Jesus and to know the riches of His grace. You see, no other foundation will hold us. This prayer reveals to us that the church, God's household, His family, are kept in true religion by Him, hope only in His heavenly grace, and are evermore defended in His mighty strength and power. This prayer reveals and glorifies the perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it reiterates His endless love for us. What a message. It's something not only the church needs to hear, but our entire country needs to hear. Indeed, the entire world needs to hear. Cranmer's heart was on England being a Christian nation. He wanted his entire country to fall upon Jesus. That's a pastor's heart. That is also the heart of an evangelist. But more importantly, that's the cry of one who has received God's grace and lives in it. That's the heart of a Christian, of a son and daughter of the living God. If you've been touched by grace, if you've fallen upon it, you most certainly want others to know and experience it too. So consider well the weight of your sin. Consider well the weight of our sin. We are a people extremely heavy, but Christ bears us in his arms, and there we are forgiven. There we are defended, and there we have everlasting life. May more and more people, weighed down by the burden of their sin, come to know the immeasurable, the insurmountable riches of God's grace, and the only hope there is, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us, we beseech thee, the liberty of that abundant life, which thou hast manifested to us in thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.